Okay, so last class we started a new topic, which we're going to finish off today. And that was on page 41. Turn to page 41, let's do a quick review. Finish it off. I'm going to end the class a little bit early so we can go through the midterm, which is next week. Who's excited about the midterm? I am. Nah. Okay, page 41. We want to look at various reasons. The Yesodot Isser Melacha B'Shabbat. Why do we stay? What is the foundation of the reason why we stay away from Melacha? We looked at three reasons last class. First one is, we spoke about the difference between Shamor and Zachor. Okay? Zachor is to remember, Shamor is to God. We said Shamor means stay away from the Malacha. And we said that's a higher level than Zachor. We had a whole class just on that. Then, let's take a bit of time. Then we spoke about the idea that we need time to get involved in spiritual activities. All week we're busy. This is reason number two on page 44. Get involved in Ruchnius. All week you're busy running around, so once a week you get a chance to get involved in spiritual activities, to learn, right, to pray with more menucha. You're not rushing through shacharit or mincha ma'ariv. You get to relax and have a more spiritual experience. That was number two. The third reason we looked at why we stay away from melacha on Shabbat was because of the physical reality, that we want a chance to actually physically rest. There is an expectation upon us. Once a week, sit over here, my aunt. That's okay, right over there. Perfect. There is an expectation upon us to rest and relax. Once a week, we're running around. Our bodies can't take it. So a seventh of our life, we looked at the Meforshim over there, are there to keep us calm and relaxed. Psias katano, no small steps. We're not running around. We're not crazy busy. We are chilling out and relaxing. Page 46. Let's start another couple of reasons, then we'll start a new topic. Page 46. Halfway down, Isur Melacha Machmat Kedusha Shabbat.
This is continuation.
You looked at three reasons, we looked at a few more. Why are we staying away? Right. So the reason we stay away from Melacha is because of the inherent holiness in the day itself. The Kedusha that is apparent in the day. Says the Maharal of Prague, Shemekevan Shabbat to Yom Shel Kedusha. We know that Shabbat is the holiest day. It's the first time the word Kedusha appears in the Torah, we said, is in relation to Shabbat, which means that is the source of all Kedusha that exists in the world. Well, Kedushi Davar She'enu Gashmi, this is a Kedusha that is not physical. Lekein Ein La'asod B'Shabbat Melacha, therefore we do not do Melacha on Shabbat. B'Hashem Melacha Hi Davar Gashmi, because Melacha is physical. And Kedusha is spiritual. And Shabbat is spiritual, and therefore we don't mix the two together. Okay? So the simple equation for that is that which is Kadosh is purely, it's not Gashmi, it's not physical. Shabbat equals Kedusha. We saw why. And then we want to put it together and say, fine, so if that's true, and Shabbat is all about Kedusha, Kedusha is not Gashmi, it's not physical, therefore on Shabbat there should be no Malacha. Okay, that's the simple equation of it. Okay, that which is holy, tis not tolerate, that which is fully holy cannot tolerate any physical activities. Okay, and he says, Kadoshi lachem, it is holy for you. That's what the Torah says in Exodus chapter 30, verse 1. Kadoshi lachem, kol davashu kadosh, anything that is purely holy, nivdal min inyane chachamri, is going to be separated. Actually, the word kadosh, did we discuss this yet? Probably not. So the word kadosh, we translate as holy. I'm going to revisit this again. I'm going to do a few classes just on this idea of Kedusha. But the word kadosh literally means, anybody? What does it literally mean, the word kadosh? Separate. Distinct. Set apart. Right, it's set apart, it's different. Okay, it's away, it's distance. That's actually the literal translation of the word kadosh. Either up, separate, or even down. Okay? That which is elevated is kadosh. That which is all separated towards bad stuff could also be kadosh.
So okay. Shouldn't Havdalah be called kiddush?
That's nice. So that's a very good question. We'll discuss Havdalah a little bit, but really Havdalah can't be that, because Havdalah is actually taking some of it and removing it into the week. You see, you want to take, so you want to separate the weekday from Shabbat, but you don't want to separate Shabbat from the weekday. You see? I just thought of that, but I think it works nicely. Well, the actual truth is you are going to take some of Shabbat into the weekday, as we're going to see. The whole purpose of Shabbat is to take you into the weekday. So we don't want to, we make Havdalah to say we're being Mavdil Kodesh Lachol, but we don't want to completely separate it. Yeah? Okay, so we'll discuss this in more detail, because there's a lot of more kadoshas that are out there we're going to discuss. However, in Shabbat we say it has to be separate. Kamo Shua Shabbat Nivdam in a Malacha. So Shabbat is separate from Malacha for that reason. Okay? That's pretty much what he wanted to say. Oh, one last piece actually. Top of page 47. And then Rav Chaim Friedlander quotes Rav Chaim Vital, one of the great Kabbalists. And he gives a Kabbalistic reason behind this as well. Kotev, Shatam Isolam says Malachah B'Shabbat. Why do we stay away from the 39 Malachot in Shabbat, which is our discussion? Ki B'Shabbat Anachlo Chozrim, because on Shabbat we return, L'matzav Adom Shel Adam Hirishon Kodam Achit. We return to the place of Adam Hirishon before the sin. Now remember, that world was perfect. And there was no malacha. There was no work. It was only after the sin in the Garden of Eden that Adam Harishon was told to Bezait Apecha Tochalechem, through the sweat of your brow, you shall be successful. You shall eat bread. And therefore, the world before that, which, by the way, we're going to try to return to after Mashiach comes, will be a world of no work. So there's an element, Alpi Kabbalah, that we return to that world, that state of Adam HaRishon before the sin, which is why actually the Shabbat is the gateway into Gan Eden, we'll see. If you want to get a place in Olam Haba, you have to keep at least one Shabbat. I mean, many more, obviously, ideally. Every Shabbat, obviously. But at least one Shabbat, because that's the gateway in. And that's related to this, because Shabbat is actually the world before the Chait, which is the world we're returning to in Olam Haba. You see that kind of connection? It comes full circle. She'en lanu lasot kol melacha, ela rak lasot b'nir kedusha, and we only do holy things. Okay. Turn to page 48. Let's do another concept here as well. So we're still on the same topic. Why no melacha on Shabbat? We've seen four or five reasons. Let's do another one. This is Rav Dessler. Rav Dessler was a rabbi who lived in Europe, escaped the war, I believe with his son, moved to England, of course. Then he moved to the north of England, and then eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael and taught and wrote a lot of machshava, a lot of deep thought. Actually, a lot of it's Kabbalistic in his works. He was very into building emunah and building bitachon. Now, we spoke about emunah already, if you remember. Emunah, we said, is faithfulness. Okay? Bitachon, however, is trusting in God for the future. Or the situation you're in right now, because what you're doing now is praying for the future. That, we said, was the difference between emunah and bitachon. That's actually the definition of the Chazon Ish, a great rabbi who lives in Israel. And he wrote a short book on it. Nice book, which I have at home. Beautiful to read. Very simple. Hebrew and English is translated into. And he says, emunah is based on the past, things that we have experiences of people. But we also have to have bitachon. Bitachon is faith in the future, right? That I'll be successful in life, that I will find a shidduch, that I'll be healthy, make a panas, all that kind of stuff. We expect to have both. Emunah, bitachon. Actually, kind of one without, well, really, bitachon comes from true emunah, actually. But so he's going to say that another reason we stay for malacha and do no work at all is in order to build up this muscle called having faith in God, which is bitachon. Okay, does that make sense? Yeah. Right, if you get a phone call, very nice. If you get a phone call on Shabbat, no, you're going to make a million's not enough nowadays. You're going to make $5 million, right? You're showing you have faith by not answering the phone. That's building your faith, absolutely. Nicely pointed out. You've got to have a lot of faith. So that builds it up for situations when you're really going to need it.
Also physical, like you can't
So you got a faith, you look good.
Okay. No,
like, self-confidence, what you're saying.
I have that.
You look fantastic. Isn't trouble? There is certain types of makeup, however, which don't dye the skin, which are permissible. Yes. However, you're not being painted up like, you know, with all the war paint that you know. Like, No doubt about it. Yes, I like that. I hadn't thought of that before. Never heard that before. You have a nice Devar Torah for Shabbos. Very nice. Let's have a look what Rav Dessler says, and let's try to fit it into those ideas. Okay? Harav Dessler, but his writings are beautiful. Our generation, you can read them all in English, by the way, in a book called Strive for Truth. Right? It's like 3 or 4 volumes now. It's very, very, very spiritual, very beautifully written. And he says, Ikar Geder HaBitachon. What's Bitachon? Okay, write that word down. Beis, Tes, Ches, Vav, Nun. What is the Ikar? What's the main part of Bitachon? Ledat. What's it all about? To know. Ki Hakol Me'et Hashem. That everything comes from God. Yitzbarach. The Im, Ki Anu Osim Ma'asim. And if we just do the actions, U'muchuyavim Anu Lasod Ma'asim Achri Klat B'zayit HaPech HaToch HaLechem. And we have to do actions. Because after Adam was cursed with, through the sweat of your brow you shall eat bread. That was how Adam HaRishon was cursed. Okay. After that, things changed. There was a change in the world that you have to do actions. You can't just sit and wait for stuff to come to you. You've got to do what we call in Hebrew, hishtadlut, effort. Hishtadlus, you've heard that expression before. You need to have hishtadlut. You have to make your effort in what you do. Mikol makom, nevertheless, tzricham ladat, you have to know. Shamasim eina siba, that the actions are not the cause. Ela kol ba mamash me'Hashem yitbarach. Don't make a connection between your efforts and the results. He makes no such connection. The true person who has bitachon doesn't say, oh, if I work hard to do more, then I'll make more. We know many people who work very, very hard to make nothing. Many people who do nothing make a lot of money. Many people who work hard and do make money. The test for everyone is to realize that really everything comes from Hashem. That's what he's saying. That is a basic Jewish concept. And that is a concept called bitachon. So why should I do anything? Because Adam sinned. And because of that, you have to put some effort in. But don't think if you put a lot of effort, you get a lot of results. Okay, Adam was told, you're going to plant one, you'll plant 4, you'll get 1 out of it. Maybe as will plant 1, and will find blessings from elsewhere. Hashem runs the world. Okay, that's the concept. He's now going to flesh it out. Very simple Hebrew, nothing complicated here. Barat Adam et olamo b'hashkafazu. If you see the world with this hashkafa, hashkafa means this outlook. If you have this outlook in life, which is not easy, by the way, it takes hard work. It takes a long time to really accept this idea. Yeah.
That's the most backward concept.
Explain why.
If I study harder for a test than somebody else, then.
Very, very nice. So sometimes we have to put effort in. And Hashem will look at our efforts and grant us. But don't make the connection that it's purely my efforts. You do have to work. You have to work hard.
I mean, I understand the concept of
the Karatatov
there.
No, not the Karatatov. It's not the That's another
it
thing.
Does,
but why? Okay, that's after the fact. That's after the fact. We're saying, like, in the actual thing itself, really Hashem is giving you all the blessings. Don't think it's, if I just do work, I will get. No, absolutely cannot say that. No, I didn't say that at all. I say you have to do the work because of the sin of Adam Rishon.
Right.
But ultimately, the effort
but
we put in...
Ultimately,
Hashem decides what we get.
Right.
Hashem decides. Now, that decision can be based upon a number of factors. If you see we don't put effort, he may not reward us at all. But Hashem is ultimately the one who's giving us what we need. It is a difficult concept because we have this idea that if I do, I get. If I don't do, I don't get. But we're saying that Hashem decides ultimately what we get.
I get what you're saying because we deserve.
That could be part of it. Absolutely. But then I know people who work very, very hard and get nothing. We're like, oh, I'm a terrible person. Well, maybe Hashem decided you shouldn't get it. Maybe you don't need it. So Hashem is the ultimate decider of what we get. But we still have to try our absolute best. Yeah. It's related. That's also part of effort. Prayer is also part of the effort. There are many strings that we have to play in order to be successful. Doing effort, showing Hashem we want to be successful in this thing, praying to Hashem, there's a number of things we need to do. Ultimately, Hashem could turn around though and say no. He can say no if we work hard. Hashem could say no. Shakol mitobra, everything comes from God. Loim samakom ledaga klan. If you have this hashkafai says, really, there will be no worry. There can still be hard work, still effort, still a desire for success, still a lot of effort. We all put effort into life. We should put effort into life. But if you have this idea that I'll put everything into it, but ultimately it's God's decision whether I get it or not, if you have that outlook in life, he says, you've removed all stress from your life, which is what you want to do. You want to remove da'aga. There's no mitzvah to have da'aga. That's like really like, I'm so stressed out. Everything is, you put your effort into it, like, I've done my effort and that's it. I can only do how much I can do. Because Hashem is making the decision as to what you're going to get. You have nothing to worry about. Okay? Now you still have to do effort. Rabbi Dessler was a person, I mean, he's writing this based upon Jewish thought. He put a tremendous amount of effort, moved half around the world in order to achieve, right? Was that beyond Belila? But the effort, he said, was really ultimately put it in, ultimately that Hashem blesses us with what he thinks we need. Not always what we want. Right? That is the concept of bitachon, having faith in Hashem. Not that everything I'm going to want, work for, I'm going to get. Not everything I pray for, I'm going to get. Okay. What has all this got to do with Shabbat? Anyone want to? And our topic specifically, anybody? What has this got to do with Shabbat and our topic specifically? Yes?
So, if we don't work on Shabbat, trust that if we don't work on Shabbat, that we're still going to get whatever Hashem thinks we
can. I think to some degree, you're absolutely right. We're not working Shabbat, we're not making a living, we're not doing anything per se, we're actually not even praying for our needs. If you look at the prayers on Shabbat, we don't have a whole list of supplications that we have during the week. Give me wealth, give me health, give me this, give me that. We just pray to Hashem, praising Hashem and thanking Hashem for Shabbat. So we spend one day a week putting no effort in. Right? We don't work, we do nothing, we're not building anything at all. That builds our faith in Hashem, which is really what we're in this world to do. So Shabbat ends up becoming a faith builder. Does that make sense? You hear that? So he says, "Davi adush in adam ledoeg el al davar shachashiv shuchal lefol." We know that a person has da'aga, has tremendous stress. Only are those things that that person thinks they can achieve. Aval davar shu mochrach afilu im tiyesara lefanav. It's something which is he's stuck with, and this is what he can do. Lo yedag, he won't get. Person gets stressed out, they're definitely going to die. Because we're going to die, so we don't get stressed out over that. We want to live. There's nothing going to do through it. Nothing's going to happen by getting stressed out. I put my effort in, and now Hashem decides what I actually end up with. If you have that outlook, I mean, that's a great way to go through life. I mean, it's tough. You know, I'm not there. Right? You see some people who are just like, it's beshert, you know. They get it, they don't get it. They get the deal, they don't get the deal. It's all min shamayim. That's the way the Jews men live. Not by doing nothing, by putting faith. Now, some people have tremendous faith and get away with doing less. You hear stories of great people who would learn all day and then they'll put faith in Hashem that at the right time, the right person would come, the amount of money to support them or something. These are very high levels of faith. I mean, they're not for most of us. I hear that. That's a very, very high level. For the rest of us, however, we have to put our effort in. Yeah, and we'll come back to you, and then you. Yeah.
Is that like a good level of faith? Like, that's not putting any effort at all.
So
that really such like a high.
That's considered to be high. It's not for most of us. It's just not for most of us. Just like, I don't know, learning full-time isn't for most of us, certain things. But just like watching a great violinist, I can watch that person like, I'm never going to play like that, so I won't play at all. No, I'm not going to play like that, because that person works on it day and night. But I want to achieve a little bit of that. And what we're trying to do is a couple of things. Remove the daga from our lives, which is a constant thing which we're constantly involved in, constant worry, constant stress. We want to remove that. And we do that by having faith in Hashem. How do we do that? So one of the training methods is to get involved in Shabbat. Shabbat naturally gives you that faith in Hashem. Just the fact that you remove yourself from Malacha gives you the opportunity. Yeah. If it is, we'll see.
Okay. So would you say that people have more faith in God or less faith?
People have less faith in God or more?
More faith in God.
Yeah. Sorry, say.
Yeah. More faith in God, less motivated.
More faith in God, less motivated. No, it's what you motivate yourself in. It's not how much you put.
Like you're more likely to accept.
Don't confuse people who are stressed out all the time, constantly worrying, with motivated.
I'm not talking about necessarily stress, though. I'm talking about going after things. If you say, okay, God clearly doesn't want me to do
accept it as fate. And
I don't say, okay, I hear what you're saying. I don't want to say they're less. I hear what you're saying. It's a fair point. I wouldn't say they're less motivated. I would say that they are at peace with what they have. They can still strive for more. They can still strive for more, but there's a realization that maybe this isn't. They keep banging. So, move on. I mean, I see people with tremendous faith being hugely successful. They're very motivated people. You know, when it comes to business, when it comes to learning, they are motivated individuals. When it comes to prayer, they just remove the stress because they realize what they do have, what they don't have. At some point, like, I can only do so much, try my best, then I move on. Yeah.
Can I say a nice thing that I heard? It's
yes.
Not so long.
You can say a nice thing you heard,
okay,
Mina.
So you know who 50 Cent is?
I'm sorry, who?
50 Cent.
Do I know who 50 Cent is? I know what a 50 Cent is.
Who? He's a guy.
Oh, the music, the rapper.
Yeah. Rapper.
Yes.
Okay.
I have heard of him. I've never heard his music.
It doesn't matter. So he had an interview on
Oprah. Okay. By the way, this is a first. This is a first that we're going to learn about bitachon and that from 50 Cent.
Yes, we will.
Yes.
So he had an interview on Oprah. Yeah. He's a mad spiritual guy. And he was saying how, like, he was on a plane or something like that. And I guess, like, other people do this too, and, like, Jews have tefillah tzederech. But
yeah.
Other people, they say a prayer, like, God, I want to get this safe, and
yeah.
I'm trying to save them.
Yeah.
So he makes a prayer, and he's like, God, I hope I land safely, and I return safely, whatever. And he realized he was a little bit worried the whole plane ride, because I guess some people are afraid of flying. It's a reasonable fear to have. And
I'm afraid of crashing, not flying. That's what I'm really doing.
Yeah.
That's my fear, just being very clear.
So he was saying to Oprah, he's like, I came up with this theory that, like, it makes no sense to pray and then worry. Because when you're praying, you're saying, Hashem, I trust you.
He said Hashem?
He's saying the whatever he believes in, but we
yes.
say to Hashem,
yes.
like, I trust you. Like, I know it's going to be fine. Whatever fine means. And if you worry, you're negating what you just said. So he was like
50 Cent, he said good.
Yeah.
He's Harav 50 Cent, Chamishim Shekel, who Omer Tov. Agarota. Who does Agarota anymore?
Right?
Yes. Yes. Very, very nice, Mina. Beautiful. I like it. I will. I'm going to call 50 Cent right after this class and say, yo, we appreciate you. Okay. It's hard for me to say this, but from 50 Cent of Dessler again. Okay, so he said, Davi Yadu, Hush, Ein Adam Doeg, El Al Tavashu, Chosh. Okay, we did that already. Al Kain, bottom of the page 48. Ilu Yada, that was very nice, so thank you. Ilu Yada, Ha Adam, Shakol Biyat Hashem. If you realize everything comes from Hashem, for Ein Biyadol, Lishnot Oklal, and you can't change God's mind when it comes to this, you can change yourself. V'chol Ma'asav Einan Sibot Amitiyut. And really, everything you do ultimately has Hashem will give you what He thinks you need. Hashem just wants you to get through this test. After we're being tested constantly, right, in every way, shape, or form, and Hashem wants us to overcome this test, whether it's work. Ultimately, the tests are there to improve our character. So the work and the prayer and everything else we do ultimately is there for us to improve ourselves. V'yadash ena ma'asim po'alim. Really, everything comes from Hashem. And our actions are Hashem's decision, whether he's going to act upon them or not. Hashem, ultimately, his decision stands. Im hu yadah zot, if you know this, you will not worry ever. There is no place for fear. And he finishes off. So Shabbat was given, this is the punchline. So Shabbat was given to us in order to achieve this knowledge in our hearts. Don't think your actions are going to give you everything you want, every reward. Right? They're not part of the cause. Hashem gives you what you need. Okay? And he carries on this idea. That's basically it. And that's the role of Shabbat. Uh-huh, one second. Yes. Hashem always gives you what you need. By the way, that could be a tremendous amount. It could be nothing. Hashem could end up giving a person nothing, Chas v'Shalom, or could person get illness or whatever it is, ultimately, because that's what that soul needs right now. So don't think what you need is in, right? You may have faith that Hashem will give you, and I pray, and I do my effort, and I do what I need to do. But ultimately, it's Hashem's decision. I'm saying it, but it's really hard. right? Because, I mean, I lose my keys and I'm going crazy. But Hashem's decided that I'll lose my keys. And I'm not going to find my keys. And ultimately, that's what I need to work on. My anger at that moment. Do I go crazy over those 5 minutes? Or do I work on my anger for those 5 minutes? Or whatever it is, or this traffic. These things are beyond our control. Many things are beyond our control. Many things are with our control. Okay? We're not, to be clear, we're not expected to test, actually you're not allowed to test yourself. You're not allowed to create situations where, you know, you give away all your money. A person can say, you know what, I want to test myself, I'm going to give away all my money. That's forbidden. You're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to give away more than 20% of your money to tzedakah. Right? It's actually forbidden. Unless you make vast amounts, and then maybe there's heterim. And if you do, please see me. I have some nice kiruv organization I'm trying to support right now, which I'll be very happy to take your money for. But I don't know how to do that. You can't rely on a nace. Right? The one person we know who did say test me was David HaMelech, and it didn't work out so well. The whole thing with Bathsheba. Okay. So we do our effort, we take out life insurance. Right? You have to take out life insurance. You can't say, oh, I put faith. No, you take a limit. Well, 1 second, Hashem will decide how much money I get. You've got to do your shtadlut. Right? You've got to follow the certain natural order. We take out life insurance against things, you know. I mean, my wife makes sure to take out a lot of my life insurance against me. Yeah.
Let's say someone is, like, Hashem decides this person needs to, like, lose, like, $500 or something, and the person is very tight with their money and, like, does everything that he can to make sure he doesn't lose money. Is that money still gonna be out of his reach somehow because God decided?
Absolutely. So absolutely. Hashem would do that. Yeah, you can take it at the left side, it goes at the right side. You know what I'm saying? I personally have many examples of this. I did something recently and someone paid me $450 for doing something. And my wife called me and said, we owe someone something. And it was the same amount.
Wow.
Same amount. Literally, we just have right within the... yeah. It was crazy. We had to get rid of the money. I wanted to keep it. That's what's crazy. But it is. That's what constantly... But this is not just work. This is everything we do ultimately is from this hashgafa. Every little irritation. The Gemara says, even taking a coin out of your pocket and you want to take out a quarter, take out a dime, that irritation, that's there to help you, improve you somehow. Very, very good. Great question. Great question. Okay. So the answer is Hashem has many shulchan. Hashem has many ways to do things. Okay. One classic example is Paro. The Jewish people were told they were going to be slaves in Egypt, but they didn't say who was going to do it. Avraham Avinu was told. Paro volunteered for the job, and therefore he got punished for it, and the way he did it as well. Okay. So Hashem has many, many messengers to make things happen. But ultimately, you have to remember. So in other words, someone upsets you, what your mena think is, as we spoke about, I think, a couple of semesters ago, Hashem wants you to go through this. Now, they'll be in trouble for what they did, but that's not true. Your cheshbon is between you and Hashem.
It's also, I have a question, but also a nice answer. I feel like when one slave gets away, he doesn't get mad at the whip, he gets mad at...
That's what we're saying, right. Yeah, the person is hitting him, right. Ultimately, Hashem is the one who's doing this to us. Yes.
Also, my question is, with the Bina Menach, he asked Hashem to test him.
Yes, that's exactly what he did. Not advisable. He said, why does it say, okay, Abraham is going to Yaakov with the Amida, and not okay, Abraham is going to Yaakov David? And he was very humble, by the way. And Hashem said, because I tested them, I didn't test you. So he said, test me. Not good. You don't want to be tested. Hashem knows where you're tested. Hashem, do not ask for a test. Because you get tested enough. Yes.
So I have a question.
Yes.
Why does Hashem choose to make people sick?
Why does Hashem choose to make people sick? That is a classic question which goes back thousands of years, which is why do bad things happen to good people? There is no one quick answer to that. There are five in my book, You Got Questions, if you want to look it up over there, Whitney. But in short, Hashem tests those people he feels can go great. That's the basic idea. Hashem tests people he feels, and there's something in that challenge, whether it's health, whether it's work, whether it's family, whether it's irritations, and we all get irritated and stressed out. Those things come to show us that we can reach higher levels. That is a rational answer. Emotionally, it doesn't work to a person who's suffering, right? Because they don't want to hear that. I'd rather not be sick. Right? No one wants to go through challenges, right? Health or money or anything else, or children troubles, heaven forbid, right? But really, that's the answer. Hashem tests those he loves. That's why Avram Avinu was tested 10 times. Hashem did not test Avram Avinu because he didn't like him. Right? He wanted to irritate him and upset him. He tested him because he realized that every test he was going to pass, he was going to get higher and higher and higher until he reached the Akedah, the ultimate test. And he became the greatest Jew that ever lived. Right? That's why the word for a test is a nisayon. The root of that is a nes, a miracle, because Hashem gets us through it. And also, a nes is a flag. A nes is a flag. See many times the word nes. Why would the word for a miracle and a test be like? Because when you achieve something, when you pass a test, it's like a flag's been set there. You own that territory. It's yours. It's conquered territory. Okay, this is good. But I want to finish off. So that's got to do with Shabbat. Shabbat helps us, he says, build this level of bitachon in Hashem. By the mere fact that we remove ourselves from Malacha. Okay. Leave the rest of the chapter. Let's turn to page 52. Let's start a new piece. Because I think it's going to be the midterm. Okay, we'll do another... Okay, someone remind me at 5:30. We'll stop and we'll do prep for midterm. There is a famous Rashi on Chumash, which comes from the Chilter, I believe. And in there, it says that on Shabbat... This is actually a bit of a continuation of the last topic. A person has to see themselves as though all the malacha is done. And the expression that is used is, ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya. You have to feel as though all your malacha is done, all your work is done, when a Shabbat comes in. So there's two things. One, you've got to stop the work. Two, you've got to feel as though there is no more work to do. I will repeat it. I'm going to write that down because that's going to be the theme for the rest of the class, maybe more. There are two things we're expected to do. One level, which is a very high level, which we've spoken about, is a person should stop malacha. Right? That is called keeping Shabbat. We looked at a number of reasons why we have to do that. Okay, that's level one. And that's very impressive. But there's something else we have to do. And Rashi brings this down. And that is not enough just to stop in malacha. That's like just barely fulfilling what you have to do. There's another madriga we're expected to keep. And that is, we have to feel, as Shabbat enters, ki'ilu kol malachtecha asuya. Ki'ilu, as though, kol malachtecha, all of your malacha is done. All the work is complete. That's a better word.
What do you mean all the work?
As though. Very good. What does that mean? What does that mean? Feel as though all your work is done. That's translation at the top of page 52. You have a job. You got work to do. You can't just stop your work, go home. That's level one. You expect to do something extra. And that is you've got to feel as though all my work is done. Meaning, there is no more work to do. Why are we expected to do that? What's that going to do for us? We're going to see. Let's see inside. Just so you see, I'm not making this up. Medivrei ha-mechilta, ha-muvom le'el, lomdim anu she'afilu adam, that even if a person, lo hispik ligmor al knisa Shabbat et malacha, did not finish the work until right before Shabbat begins, she'asak bo metachol that he did during the week, b'chol ofen alav lahafsik et malachto b'chalas ha-Shabbat. You've got to stop your malach on Shabbat. In addition, v'lo lachshav odoteh klal, and don't even think about your work. Not only is your body at rest, your mind has to be at rest as well. Let's say Lizzie. Lizzie works very, very hard. She's a good student. She's always studying so hard, right? Say yes, Rabbi.
Yes, Rabbi.
And Shabbat comes, you're like, you know what? I don't want to do all this hard work. Shabbat's coming, and you stop. Is it possible that although you physically stop taking notes or working hard on phone calls and emails and papers and all that, your mind is still working on this stuff? It's possible, right? It's almost likely. That mind game is going to be coming with you. Your mind is constantly working. And when you start to get a job and you're working hard, you're supporting people, then it gets even more. Your mind is constantly at work. So what we're going to see is that stopping malacha is the physical, but you're also expected to stop your mind as well. That's really what you may be doing. The hirhurim, the thought process, has to be stopped as well. You shouldn't be thinking about work. You shouldn't be thinking about things which are not related to the Shabbat you are now in. It becomes a mind game. Let's see how and why we're expected to do this. Omer al kach, Rav Shlomo Harkavi, ki'ilu kol melachtecha asuya, this is the comment of Rashi, hakol nigmar, it's all done. Shabbos comes in, it's done. It's not, I'm taking a break till Saturday night, or I'm taking a break till Sunday morning, or if you're a Stern student, till I wake up Sunday afternoon. That's not what you're meant to be doing. You're meant to feel as though there is no work to do. Which is counterintuitive, because there is. You just stop doing it. Right? You're a business person, you're a lawyer, you work on a case, you work on a project. You can't fit your entire life so that everything stops Friday afternoon. You take a break, right? You stop, you keep Shabbat, then you carry on that afterwards. So we're going to see over here that actually that's not the attitude you're meant to have. The attitude you're meant to have is, know it's done. Rak, ki'ilga, nigla, akoli yagish adayin shasirach legmor melachto. In your mind, a person will think, oh, I still have to finish my work. Rak mipnekin Shabbat, you know what, I'm a holy Jew, and I want to keep the holy Shabbat, so I won't do the work on Shabbat. Okay? Nidcha adlachash, so you know what, I'll leave it off till after Shabbat. Which is what we do, right? I'm working on a project, I'm preparing something, I'm working, I'm doing it, whatever it is, I'm writing a book, so I stop. And then I'm like, okay, fine, but I'll pick it up Sunday morning. Whatever. He's like, no, not good enough. You're missing the whole point. Kvar chaselo, you are actually lacking hamenucha, the form of rest, ha'amitit, the true rest, Vashalva Nachoma, and the tranquility you are expected to have on Shabbat. If that's how you keep Shabbat, you're missing the whole point. Crazy, right? Rak tzarich lovol madrega gazo. You're meant to reach a higher level. Sheyargish, you should feel, shemalachto kala suya gemura, that actually the work is completely done. Ve'en lo od malasot, and you have nothing else to do. That's what you meant to be thinking when you start with malacha. Not that I'll push it off because, hey, it's Shabbos, what am I going to do? No, okay, fine. Oh, that feels so good. But like, no, it's done. I'm not just physically free, I'm mentally free. And let's go back to one of the first classes we did in the next paragraph. V'zohi matana genuza. Do you remember we spoke about the hidden gift that was hidden away? He says, this is the gift. Shaddai menuchat bevetz genazav, that Hashem keeps in his hidden treasure house. Sheba'olam hazeh kasha lasiga, that's something which is, in this world, almost impossible to achieve. In other words, anyone could just stop working. Anyone could do that. Jew, non-Jew. Anyone can make their day the day of rest. I mean, they don't actually make it the same way we do, but anyone could, theoretically. Right? Stop using their phones and all the rest of it. Well, that's possible. It's not so crazy. He's like, yeah, but that's not what Shabbat is. That's only a part of Shabbat. There's a whole new level that women are expected to achieve, and that is, in my mind, there is nothing. It all doesn't exist. It's dead to me. And he's saying this, by the way, is a gift. And the fact that God considers it a gift means that this is not a natural phenomenon. This is not the natural way of people. Naturally, we carry this stuff with us all the time. Aval merov ava toiz brach, but through Hashem's tremendous love, lebanav la mishra, for the Jewish people, natana Shabbat, kodosh, he gave us this holy Shabbat, v'lechein rak im b'nei Yisrael, yesh lehem, hakoch hazeh, only we have this power. To this level of, it's as though all your work is done. Right, that's the key catchphrase. Midargat olam haba b'olam hazeh. This, he says, is olam haba in olam hazeh. Right? Olam haba is a place where there is no more work. It's done. There's nothing else to do. Whoever achieves what they achieve, it's like, The Gemara says, if you cook on Erev Shabbat, if you're making a Shabbat, you get to eat on Shabbat. You make a cholent Erev Shabbat, you get to eat. You don't make a cholent Erev Shabbat, you don't get to eat cholent on Shabbat. Shabbat is another way of saying Olam Haba. If you make yourself into this world, then you're prepared for the next world. If you do what you're meant to achieve in this world, you get to eat of the fruits of the labor, of the cholent in the next world, as it were. He's saying now that actually Olam Haba can be experienced at Olam Hazeh. You can experience it. If someone says to you, what's the Jewish view of the next world? You say, Shabbat. It's Me'ein Olam Haba. One thing we know about Olam Haba is there's no more work. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing. You're just stuck. Whatever you achieve, that's it. He's like, ah, now that is Shabbat. Where not only can I not do it, but there's nothing else to do. There is no work to be done because you're dead. Or as we say, you're dead to the world. He's saying this is the gift given to us that allows us to achieve this. This is not something the other nations have. Vine, bottom of page 52, follow inside. Truth be told, in this world there is no rest. You're constantly at it. There's always something else to do. And if you're not physically doing it, your mind is constantly working on it. Ein, he says, Atar to olam ein opaseka. The constant flow never stops. You're never free of this constant moving around. You're in a slingshot. You're constantly being flung from one thing to another. It's called kafakela. The zorakimoto, mituratova, and you're constantly being flung from one thing to another. Mitaiva la taiva, from one desire to another desire. Miratam la ratam, from one want to another want. This is not dependent on, you know, I've got lots of money, then I'm free. Rich people are constantly at it as well, trying to protect their money, trying to spend the money. Right kind of thing, how am I going to, constant, it's constant, constant, constant. Vim yichakel zman, and if you try to wait for a moment, shiafsiku, I told you that it's actually going to stop, you're never going to get leolam lo yagil lezeh. You're never going to get it. It's constant. It's never ending. Never ceasing. Va'avodat hadam, he, and what is the work of a person? Page 53 at the top. Shishtamesh b'koach ha'matan atova. Use this gift. Hashem gave you the answer. Shirtan lo b'tava ben im Yisrael b'koach ha'shabbat. He gave you the power of Shabbat. Lehitragel, this is the bold print. Lehitragel, lahasig, to get used to achieving menucha be'em saturit, a level of menucha, of rest, in the middle of this constant flow. Hashem wants us to have a little rest in between. He wants us to have some menucha, some moment, as we said, for the number of things, in order to have spiritual, in order to be healthy, in order to rest our bodies, our minds as well. Umin halimud v'ahergel shem lachasuya. During the middle of it, you have to learn that filas, all the work is done. Ishtadel litragel ha'sika sabenucha imatzav ha'terudot. You're getting a little bit of it. He's now going to give an interesting example of this. And this is based upon the blessing which we see in Parshas Vayechi that Yaakov gave to his sons. And he gave a blessing to Yisachar. Yisachar. Now, does anyone remember what Yisachar was all about? You have Yisachar and Zevulun. Remember? Zevulun were the workers, right? They were the sailors in the boats and the ships. And they supported Yisachar. They worked, and they supported themselves, and they supported Yisachar. Okay. I'm sorry, what? They were the Torah learners and teachers, yes. Yeah. I can't get to that right now. Let's just go into this, and we'll see. I know you're going with this. I can't do it right now. Now, Yisachar is called something. Yisachar was called in the Torah by Yaakov, a chamur garem. Which is not an insult, by the way. He was called a strong-boned donkey. Many of the tribes are referred to by animals, like lions and deer and other creatures. But Yisachar was called a donkey. Now, that may seem like a bit of an insult, but actually we're going to see It's a very nice compliment.
They carry heavy things.
They carry heavy things. What else do you know about donkeys? I wouldn't have known this without learning this piece. But actually, if you think about it, you understand it. What's better, a horse, a sus, or a donkey? A chamor.
Horse.
Horse seems better, right? Horses are strong. They go faster. They move faster. They achieve a lot. But there's something a horse cannot do.
I think it's that a donkey can carry like 3 times its weight.
It carries a lot more. But in addition to that, has anyone ever worked with horses at all? Or?
They drink less?
No. I don't know about that.
Just a guess.
What?
Do they get angry?
I think donkeys get angry too. Horses don't sit still until they take their saddle off. When we take saddles on and off horses, have you seen that?
Yeah.
Horses always need to be saddled and unsaddled, saddled and unsaddled. They can't rest. You see them, saddles got to come off, or they can't do. Donkeys, however, don't have that. Donkeys go over mountains, go for ages and ages, slowly move and move and move. And they're tired, they just sit on the floor and they pass out. And everything's dead to them, even though they've still got a big peckle on their backs. That's the trait. Let's have a look inside. Afal pi shasus yoter chazak, even though we know a horse is stronger, min hachamor than the donkey, him shilo kotov lachamor, the Torah gave the metaphor, Hashem gave the metaphor of a donkey, and used that as the mashal, that's the metaphor for why. Ki teva chamor, because the nature of a donkey, does not wait to rest for its pack to be taken off. The Asur Menu went, remove from it. Rak im hamasa lov rovetz ben hamishpatim. While it's still on, it's able to sit down and to rest. V'noach u'machlif kochotav l'nasa'od, and get its rest in order to carry on. This was meant to be a lesson to Yisachar. To teach you that we're expected to find rest even when the pack is on our back. And he's able to achieve more power. Right? And this was there to teach him. That's what Shabbat's meant to do. You see, you can't be expected to take off your pack Erev Shabbat. It's not going to happen. Right? Stresses go over the weekend. But you're meant to be at complete rest or the pack is still on your back. Right? He bechinat menucha shleima. That's considered to be a real menucha. And that's why Shimon bar Yochai, bottom page 53, Zacha merited shekol yemei chayav hayub masar Shabbat. Rashi Bar Yochai, one of the greats, Tanaim of Jewish history, one of the great leaders of Jewish history and thinkers, right? He lived a life where he was constantly in Shabbat. Shabbat was 24/7. Was that, but he never worked? No, he did Malacha. But his mind was constantly Shabbat. He lived his life in a world of Shabbat. It wasn't, oh, Shabbos is over. I am Shabbat. That's who I am. What does that mean? Menucha shleima me'ein olaba. That means he lived in the next world. He was physically in this world, but his mind was in the next world. V'chol achad tzarech shadel la'asig. And everyone's going to try to at least achieve, mash you a little bit, memedrei gazul, l'fiko chatov, according to their abilities. And that's why she said, Reishis chachma, shebechol yom, yesh nitzutzik Shabbat. Every day of the week has sparks of holiness of Shabbat. Shabbat gives sparks and powers to the days of the week. V'lechen, hatov midbar, if you're lost in the desert, you anuach b'yom sheyivchar. He says, and that's why you lost the desert, at least choose one day in order to have the rest.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Shouldn't the lesson be for Zvulun because he works?
I know. Interesting. Your thoughts, Zvulun would need it more because they're interesting. Yisachar was the one. He was the one whose all that stress is there, and yet you have to immerse yourself in Torah.
Yeah, because you learned Torah on Shabbat.
I know. And he learned all week as well. It's interesting. It's interesting. Good question. Okay, so let's finish this off. We'll just run through the rest of this. How am I meant to do this? So we'll just cut through. So how are you meant to do this exactly? Yesh Yishol, my Be'emet Derash Alida, Nitan Litanik. Page 54. We're going to just summarize this. We'll look at a few pieces and just summarize it because it's really one answer. How are you meant to do this? And it's actually related to what we finished off the last chapter. This is like the ultimate conclusion to it. How are you meant to do it? Mikol, how are you meant to cut off all your thoughts? Not just your body, but your thoughts as well. Right? Mikol machshavat achol, from all the weekday thoughts. How are you meant to do that? How are you meant to de-stress on Shabbat? Okay, now there's things that we do, we act through it, but there's more. V'lachshov, and to think, ilukob malach tachasu, feel as though all the work is done. Right? V'zod ba'od shu tarub malach do, who are you kidding? You still have work to do. Work's not done. Right? Adayin lo siyam, I didn't finish it yet. So how am I expected to think that? Achein. Therefore, Chazal gave us an answer. It says, "Ye be'enecha ki'ilu kol melachta asuya." You've got to feel as though it's done. You're not kidding yourself. You know there is work to do, but in your mind you're going to feel as though it is all done. Shabbos is coming in. I've got nothing else to do. Torah lasmacha. Imagine for yourself. Ki'ilu garmata kvata asika, that you have finished it. You're expected to imagine this in your minds. There you are in the middle of all your work, or balabais dochek, and your boss is nagging you, right? Or your wife. Chashuv ki'ilu siyamte et malach alagamre. Feel as though all your work is done. Ma tivat shelet. What is the purpose of this advice? Right? Are you deceiving yourself? He says. The dimion va ha lahash. You have to deceive yourself. Is that what you're trying to be doing over here? So the answer he's going to give is, as we said before, really, everything that we achieve even during the week is because Hashem says so. There is a lesson here that everything we achieve is because Hashem says we get it anyway. Everything we achieve is really because Hashem says so. And he gives the metaphor, kol shenaseh lo gazan oseh. Everything that happens isn't the axe that does it, ki macheresh, the person who's the wood chopper does it. Right? Hashem is the ultimate result of all our actions. Even during the week. If you feel that, and you really know that, and you live it, when Shabbat begins, the work is all done because I wasn't achieving it anyway. Hashem was giving me the results anyway. That's how this whole thing ties in. So when Shabbat begins, we may have to remind ourselves, you know what? I thought I was so big, and I made that deal, and I was so successful, or I was so unsuccessful, and how am I failing in this? Hashem is going to decide what you get and what you don't get. Ultimately, according to what you need, according to everything else in your life, right? So then, with that attitude, you're able to cut your mind off because you weren't achieving it anyway. That will help you get to this point of putting not just your body, but your mind at rest as well. That's pretty much how he finishes. And he goes into more detail, which you can look through and you study, but that's pretty much the summary of it. Okay. Let us prepare for our midterm. And we'll take all questions.